Welcome to Elevate Your Energy Radio. This is Evelyn, and today I'm talking to my mentor and dear friend, JJ Virgin, about her new book, The Miracle Mindset. It's been a few months since my last episode, so thank you so much for sticking around and tuning in. And if you're new, welcome to the show. I know you're really going to get a lot out of this one. We're not talking about diets or exercise, and as you'll soon find out, what we're covering today is really foundational and essential to making lifestyle changes, elevating your energy, and just in life in general. JJ and I have done three shows in the past, and on her previous books, two of those are on the Underground Wellness podcast, and one of those you can find in the Elevate Your Energy podcast. That was called Drop Your Sugar Impact. So the book we're talking about today, The Miracle Mindset, is based on JJ's experiences after her son Grant was the victim of a terrible hit and run accident in September of 2012 when he was just 16. JJ is known for her bestsellers, The Virgin Diet and The Sugar Impact Diet, but fighting for her son's life inspired a new focus on mindset and the power of courage, strength, and resilience to help you not just survive, but thrive during life's hardest moments. I read the book over the weekend and it really touched me. I was there for a lot of the things that have happened, so I definitely felt all of the emotions. So JJ, welcome to the show.
Yeah, you actually, you came to the hospital.
I did. I saw him like the first week. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to warn people that were coming, like, you sure you're ready for this?
Yeah, so. It was rough. And reading that again, it just brought everything back. And I'm sure for you writing everything.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about that when I decided to do this, that when you write a book and then you do an audio book and you do a documentary, you actually get to relive the thing over and over and over. So that was kind of brutal.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah.
So I still remember, so the Sunday before, because it happened on a Monday night, and I remember mm-hmm. you and I, we were actually at a Brendon Burchard event in San Jose. And then the next day, or I guess we all went home that day, and then what happened?
And actually, we went home that day. I remember walking through the airport thinking, oh my gosh, everything is going so well. like life is so perfect. Everything is fantastic. It's just great, easy. And I also remember being at that Brendon Burchard event and thinking, gosh, I don't really have a great hero's journey.
Gosh.
I know. I'm like, careful what you wish for. What you wish for. Wow. Yeah. So I was, as you remember, working on the Virgin Diet. It was a couple weeks before pub date. You know, so many things to get done to get that thing to really go. And I came home that evening. My son was in a bit of a snit about some stuff. And he and I got in a little bit of a fight. And he stormed out of the house. And the next time I saw him was in the Palm Springs Trauma Center, because he had been the victim of a hit and run and left for dead in the street and airlifted to the local hospital.
Ugh. And can you just describe a little bit? I know you can all read it in the book and you should definitely read it, but can you describe what happened to him? What the damage
was? Yeah, so
was?
he was crossing the street. No one actually saw it. My neighbor saw the woman who hit him get out of her car, get back in her car and drive off. But he had a torn aorta that kills 90% of the people like on the scene. That's what killed Princess Diana. And when we got to the hospital, they said he's got this torn aorta. It's hanging on by an onion skin. It's going to rupture sometime in the next 24 hours, which will kill him. It's got to be repaired. But he's also got multiple brain bleeds. He's got something called a diffuse axonal injury. And if we fix it here, his brain will bleed out because, you know, the surgery he needed to fix it is a very specialized surgery that requires a surgeon who can do this without a blood thinner. And the surgeon at this hospital in Palm Springs couldn't do it. Plus, he had 13 fractures. He literally had bones sticking through his skin. And so the doctor there said, you know, he's never going to survive that other airlift. And even if he survived that airlift, he's not going to survive the surgery. And even if he were somehow able to survive both those things, he'd be so brain damaged, it wouldn't be worth it. And I remember my other son, Bryce, who was 15, who was with us, looked at that doctor and said, so like a 0.25% chance he would make it. And that doctor said, that's about right, son. And Bryce goes, so we'll take those odds.
Wow.
So that was that, airlifted and overruled and airlifted.
Yep. And then Grant, though he was in a coma for a long time, he absolutely made a remarkable recovery. And you were, I mean, you pretty much lived at the hospital while you were launching your book. And that's what, all the lessons that you learned through that time period, that's what your book is about. So I'd love to talk about just a few passages in your book that really spoke to me. So after Grant had recovered, I'm not sure how long after the accident this was, but when you took your kids and your mom to Hawaii.
Yeah. And he's still recovering. This is a lifelong process.
Yeah. So how long after was that you guys went to Hawaii?
We went to Hawaii that summer. So it was July of that summer.
Wow, so less than a year.
Wow. Gosh, that was a little bit of a, that was definitely ambitious. I was like, that might have been a little bit crazy.
Yeah, but something that you realized there was that, you know, big changes don't happen suddenly. It's really in the accumulation of small shifts that add up as a transformation takes place. I'd just love for you to speak on that a little more as it relates to not just Grant's recovery, but just your own life in general.
You know, it's interesting. I've been really looking. I love that phrase, little hinges swing big doors, mm-hmm. you know. And someone sent a very cool article today about how we make big change and that we don't make big change in an instant. We make big change by a whole lot of little changes adding up. And when I was in the hospital with Grant after we got through that first, you know, we got through the airlift, we got through the first surgery, and then I have a son who now the neurosurgeons are like, well, we don't think he'll ever wake up and all that, I'm standing there looking at him and I said, he's going to be 110%. I had to have this big goal, this big purpose to work for, as crazy as it sounded at the time. And the only way to get someone who is in a coma and teetering between life and death to 110% is just with 1% shifts at a time. And so that's literally what the last 4.5 years have been like. It's not like he woke up out of the coma. And what I was expecting, Evelyn, is he was going to wake up out of the coma and just like on TV, you know, which doesn't happen, but on TV, they wake up out of comas and they look at you and they smile and they say, I love you. And I thought that's what was going to happen. I totally thought that was going to happen. It totally didn't happen.
Right.
You know, he woke up out of a coma very slowly, opening his eyes first, making no eye contact, you know, and it was another couple weeks before he even said anything at all. And it took months for him to even know who he was, all of this. It's just, but every single time it was like, all right, well, today he fluttered his eyelids. Today he squeezed my hand. Today he made eye contact. You know, it's like you just, everything's a one percenter.
Yeah. And you brought up that like your commitment to Grant's recovery was to get him to 110% better, not just for him to survive. And I love the example you gave. He had a lot of issues with his heel because there were like fragments in it, right? What was the deal with his heel?
Oh my gosh. It was so interesting too, because when, you know, at first all we were concerned about was the torn aorta, because if he didn't survive that, we were going to have a big problem. And then the next thing we were worried about was, of course, his brain. And so all these other orthopedic, and I was like, oh, okay, well, he's got a broken heel. You know, I mean, big deal, right? It wasn't as big of a deal as a brain or an aorta. But what I didn't understand at the time was that he had a crushed heel. And I guess, you know, we don't know how he was hit, but his heel, they had to like pin the thing back together again and make kind of a new heel. And, you know, when you think about it, if you don't have a heel, you're in deep trouble. You can't push, you know, it's like you need to walk, you know, so, and do all sports. And so the surgeons came in and they're like, you know, we're just trying to get him to be able to walk again. And I looked at him, I go, hey, I want you to do it. If Kobe Bryant were in this bed, like, you would not be telling him that. What would you be telling him? That's what I want you to do for my son. If you can't do that, then you're fired.
I love that.
Like, you know, I said, he's an athlete. He's of course going to walk again. You know, I couldn't even entertain the fact now, and I'm glad that I didn't know what I didn't know, because, you know, the fact that he was literally on the pavement, 13 fractures, bone sticking through his skin, half of his body covered with road rash, glass and gravel sticking out. I mean, and that the only thing that came out of it was that he had a, you know, he's coming through this brain injury and he had some hearing loss in one ear. And you're looking at going, how on earth was he able to pull this off? Like, you know, it's just amazing to look at it. Granted, his body looks a little bit like a zipper. He's got a lot of, you know, a lot of scars from different surgeries. But I mean, overall, he's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. He's like a cat. That's what we
Another thing that you did that I think just applies to anyone in any situation is at the end of every single day, you asked yourself, what went well today and what else can I do? And I love this because I don't know if you're familiar with the 5-minute journal. Do you know that one? Yeah. So you can buy it on intelligentchange.com, but I've been doing it lately and my brother and wife got it for me for Christmas. And so every morning you write down the three things you're grateful for, three things that would make today great, and daily affirmations. But then at night you write three amazing things that happened today and how could I have made today even better? So it's literally those two questions that you asked yourself. Can you just talk more about that in the context of everything?
Yeah. And it's literally what saved me.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting how you start to hear other people say this. You know, I've talked to so many people. I'm like, gosh, we've all been doing the same thing independently of each other. I had a habit that I've done for years where every morning I get up and write down three things I'm grateful for every morning. So that was part of what I was doing in the hospital. And that saved me because I was so scared and terrified of what was going on. Right. You know, but it's when you get to gratitude, it kind of shoves out the fear. So every time fear would start to overtake me, I would go there. So, you know, this would help push through things when fear was just overtaking me. And there were some super bleak, dark times in that hospital, as you can imagine. Yeah. But what would get me through that is I would just focus on like, what were those little things? I would, you know, you can call them the little wins. I call them the little miracles. What are those things that happened that day that, you know, are showing me that I'm moving towards that 110%. So every day would be like, all right, what are those things? What are those things? I've kind of added a third piece to this because what I've also realized is we need things in our life that can quickly interrupt our state. And I know, you know, the last 4.5 years have been challenging, and it would seem like when you think about it that the 4.5 months when Grant was in the hospital were the big challenge. But the reality is the most challenging part of the last 4.5 years has really been since he came home and we've dealt with the aftermath of a serious brain injury. And it's a major thing to come through, and there's no real owner's manual for it. So we didn't know what we were facing. And so what I've had to do to get through a lot of that is what I would call mindset hacks, you know, things that I can keep in my back pocket. So when it just seems hopeless, overwhelming, like what can I do? And one of the easiest ones that I have found is like when it is just crappy out there, you're going, God, you know, is this hopeless? All you have to do is think about someone else who could use a little pick-me-up or who you appreciate or there's something about them you admire and just shoot them a text. And it is amazing how quickly that'll switch stuff for you. So that's the other little piece, like I would say, is I like to frame my day morning with gratitude, evening with the little miracles, and then have some quick hacks during the day when I need them. Because, you know, I mean, the deal is – life throws you curveballs. We have stuff come up all the time that we're like, gosh, how am I going to handle this? It's not like I got through this and everything is just sunshine and butterflies. You know, it's like, and the reality is life isn't like that anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know anybody's life. I remember back when I was a personal trainer and I was personal training in some of the most wealthy, well-known people in LA in their houses, people who look like they have these amazing lives. And they had the same struggles and crap going on that, you know, that I had going on. I was like, it's just no different. Just a prettier house, you know, like, you know, she just has better shoes and the same issues going on. So it really comes down to how you're able to show up in life. And when you have a good framework for it, like how you start and end your day, things you can do throughout the day to manage your mood, because we know these things are going to come up for you. You just have to be ready for them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I've definitely learned some of those lessons over the last year and a half myself. That's a private conversation for another time between you and I. But it's but it's so interesting because I think sometimes we get into the trap of like when things do get better, that you forget that it could all shift again. Do you know what I mean? Like it, or at least maybe that's something that's been challenging for me to relearn over and over is, you know, when things are like better again, that, you know, I can't expect that it's always going to be like that. And I think I definitely had that kind of mindset before. So,
hey, the one thing I know for sure, and it is the interesting thing, like I started to look at, as I went through this whole situation, people are like, how did you get through that? Like, what did you do? And it made me, it really forced me to be reflective and introspective on like, what did I do? Like, how did I get through this? Mm-hmm. And I also started to look around at other people because, you know, as you get into these conversations, you realize that everybody goes through really like tough stuff. And actually the coolest people, the people who I really admire and who inspire me are the people who have gone through the biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. Because you're not grown when things are awesome. Like I've never had an amazing, incredible, fabulous experience and gone, boy, did I grow from that. You know, it's like never once. It's never happened. So it's the one certainty that we know in life is that things are going to show up. There are going to be things out there that you have to handle. You can't get away from them. And this idea that we should be fearless is ridiculous. You know, there's no way to be fearless. If you're really showing up in life, you're going to be facing fear all the time. Mm-hmm. And you've got to learn how to lean into that, how to handle it, and how to show up as your best self when you do. And it doesn't mean that these things are going to happen. You're going to go, oh, wow, groovy, a growth opportunity. I'm so excited. Like, you know, this was like hard as hell, and it still is. But, you know, and it takes everything you've got. But you know it will get better. You know you will get through it. And every time you get through one of these situations, it builds your resilience. And the next one that comes up, you're like, I got this. Like, I look at my kids now, Evelyn, and they're 19 and 20. And like Bryce, who walked up to Grant on a gurney with bones sticking out of his skin and road rash down his body and tubes and glass and, you know, tells him, dude, you're stubborn, but you can make it, you know? And I'm like, going, how do you throw a kid like that? You know, wow. he's been through the war.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just mentioned resilience. And that's what I kept thinking as you were speaking just now, because we know the people who live the longest and, you know, even if they eat crap, the ones who are the most resilient, they're the ones who really make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So when all of this was happening, especially like those 4.5 months when you were at the hospital, you were launching the Virgin Diet, and some people encouraged you to take a break from your launch. I don't know if I even said that to you at the hospital, like, can't you take like a day off? You didn't have a choice. You just had to do whatever it took at the time. And I think that from the outside looking in, that wasn't always obvious because you just handled everything so well, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't an option. And I remember at the time someone wrote on my Facebook page, she said, don't worry about your job. You just go take care of your sweet son and your job will be there waiting for you. And I'm thinking, well, not really, you know, my job will not be there waiting for me. I don't have a job. I run a business. And if this doesn't go, I'll be bankrupt and I'll have no way to pay these medical bills or give my son what he's going to need moving forward. Cause I had no idea what he was going to need. I just knew I was going to get it for him. And I also knew that, you know, I had a lot of other people working for me who would all be in trouble too. And I'm like, this isn't optional. I've got to show up for all of it. I've got to be here for him working, you know, it's like answering questions, dealing with the doctors, being there all day with him. And I've got to pull this launch off. And so I did.
Yeah. There was no plan B.
There was no plan B. I had to make it all work.
Yeah. Something else that you did that I really just admire about you, because I think I would have the hardest time with this part, is, but you really made your health such a priority. And I think, you know, when taking care of others, whether it's little ones or sick ones or older ones, often our own health goes by the wayside, but you made your health one of your top priorities. How do you think you were able to do that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a big mistake that people make. Mm-hmm. Because here's the bottom line. Well, I knew I'm looking at the ICU and I'm walking in to see my son, and you have to put on a mask, gloves, and a gown. If you're sick, you get turned away. So I'm looking at this going, I cannot get sick. Mm-hmm. And I've got to do interviews. I've got to be focused. Grant's teetering between life and death. I'm making important decisions. I cannot be like halfway there. I had to be 100%. So I just went, the only way that I'm going to be able to pull this off is if I am like impeccable with my self-care. Now, I normally am pretty darn close, but this was like perfection, mm-hmm. right? The way I was eating, my exercise, my sleep, supplements, I dialed it all in to be at like the level, like to be a SEAL team member, right? Mm-hmm. The only thing I did, I let myself have as much coffee as I wanted. I just was like, forget it, I get a hall pass, I can have coffee. But other than that, I was like fully on it. And that, I think, is something that we all need to think about, because I see with so many people, they'll put themselves last. You know, they feel like taking care of themselves and self-care, meaning getting good sleep and exercise and eating correctly, is like being selfish. And in my mind, especially if you're a caretaker or a parent, being, you know, taking care of yourself is the most selfless thing you can do. Then you'll be able to really show up for those people in your life. Plus, if you're a parent and you want to have healthy kids, the easiest way to have healthy kids is to be healthy. Then they'll do what you do. If you are not healthy, then guess what? They are not going to go out and be healthy. So you've got to be that role model. I remember back when I was a trainer and I had a client who was smoking, and I'm like, do you want your kids to smoke? He goes, oh, no, they're not going to smoke. I go, yes, they will. Of course they will. I mean, that's what they're seeing. So it is just critical to model the behaviors you want to have others do. But if you want to be a high performer and be able to do these things in your life, I just see too many people that they're not valuing themselves enough. Their self-worth is not there. They're not putting themselves first. And so they can't do the things they need to do in their life because health's holding them back. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's mindset holding them back, right? Because they didn't value themselves high enough to do it.
Absolutely. And you wrote about this more in the book, so we don't need to dive too deep into it. But you also brought Grant's food, once he could eat, you brought his food into the hospital because, well, he wasn't about to eat hospital food under your watch.
Well, it just shows, you know, it's like as he was coming out of the coma, his personality was still totally there. One of the first things he did when he was speaking was look at the hospital food and go, disgusting. I just made sure I had a Nutribullet there. I had fish oil. I had all sorts of great supplements. And I just fed him because the hospital food, like how are you healing? You're healing. The first thing you do to heal is what you eat. And people at the hospital are like, I can't believe you're doing this. And I'm like, I can't believe that I wouldn't be doing this. Like, Absolutely. How can you not do this? You know?
Yeah. So we just reviewed all of the things that you, or some of the things that you learned through this, but then what inspired you to actually write this book, and what do you hope that people get out of this?
So when I realized that there actually was a process that, you know, the story is specific, but there's lessons in here that are universal that anyone can use in their life, whether they're stuck, like so many people just kind of feel stuck, trapped in a rut, or you just need to be able to handle things, you know, or you want to show up bigger, step up. This applies to all of those things. So once I saw that this was more than, say, a memoir, that it really was a memoir with muscles that could help other people, I was like, all right, now I want to do it. And, you know, just like my other books, I create everything. I put a framework in place. I have a documentary that kind of leads into the book, and then the book leads into a program that I can take people through to really help them develop their own miracle mindset. But it really is, because once you do this, you know, you can't outgrow your mindset. Wherever you think you are is where you are. So you get what you expect. But if you don't think you're good enough, if you don't think you're worthy, you'll be right there. You know, it'll show up in your health. It'll show up in the way you know, in your work, in your relationships, in your finances. The easiest way to uplevel your health is to work on your mindset. But you know, it's really hard to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to change my thinking. Like, and think about it, you know, like, I don't know how to do that. If you change your doing, it will change your thinking. So I was like, how do we get you into action to do things that will start to shift your thinking as well?
Absolutely. And the documentary you mentioned, it's called You Are Stronger Than You Think. And if you're listening, you can go to elevateyourenergy.com/miracle mindset to watch that. Again, that's elevateyourenergy.com/miracle mindset. JJ, I have one more question for you, actually two together. So now that it's been about 4.5 years since all of this, how is Grant doing? And what would you say you are most grateful for through this experience?
So Grant is actually 110% at this point. We still have, we have more to go, and it's only been the last couple months. And there's a lot more that we will be doing, but he is doing so much better than he was before. So that's super exciting. Yeah. And it's been like, people are like, okay, what was it? I'm like, everything. And his attitude more than anything else, he's never been a victim. Yeah. And over the last like 6 months, he's totally taken the idea that, like, I go, you are a lab rat. We are going to try all these things. So, and he's like, okay. So he has been amazing. I think that what's been the most significant, impactful for me is really the community. You know, Grant is here because of the community that I've developed over the last, I don't know, 8 years. And I reached out to them when this all happened and they came through in droves. so that is why he is doing so well and is what I'm internally grateful for.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You actually just reminded me of one more thing that I wanted to bring up. You said that Grant was never a victim in this. And would you say that that's because you didn't really allow any negativity around him, like while he was in his coma?
You know, I'm watching how both my boys are, and it just shows how critical this stuff is to do at an early age. Like, one of the things that I would say about this documentary is to play it for your kids, mm-hmm. because I interviewed Grant a couple weeks ago, and he is sitting there like a parrot talking about the things that I talk about in the documentary. I'm like, this is crazy. Huh. But I realize he's been around us. Like, we do not behave as victims in my household at all. And, you know, he's always been a stubborn kid, but he just never has been a victim. It's just not, that's not what we do. You know, yeah. It's like, we don't do that. You know, it's like none of us were sitting here going, what about that woman who hit Grant? None of us ever focused on it whatsoever. We're like, bless her on her path. I mean, it wasn't, honestly, after, immediately I was like, I can't worry about her. I've got to focus on my son. But I went through an active forgiving process with her because I don't know what was going on with her. And it's like, she didn't do it. But it's like, she didn't run down my son. So, you know, you let that go. So I really believe that both my kids, that the reason we're all here and we're able to do what we're doing is because the whole family has this type of mindset. And it when one of us was down, we had the other group of us to pick us all up, because Grant's had some really dark times over the last 4 years, but he's had all of us virgins there fighting for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, JJ, thank you so much for your time today. And I know you know this, but I just have to acknowledge you again for this. I can't thank you enough for the influence that you've had in my life. If it wasn't for you, I doubt I'd be doing this podcast. And I certainly wouldn't have the job that I have, which I love, in an Yay. Industry that I love that I didn't even know existed before you. That's professional supplements, by the way. And you just consistently inspire me, and you have ever since even before I met you. You know, the way you carry yourself, your hard work, your vulnerability, and you are someone who, like, just absolutely always walks her talk. So I'm just in awe of you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, hon. I so appreciate it.
Yeah. So thank you for tuning in today. Again, you can get JJ's book, The Miracle Mindset, and you can also, no, you have to watch the documentary, You Are Stronger Than You Think, and you can watch that at elevateyourenergy.com/miracle mindset. Thank you.